And we'll be in Isaiah chapter 49. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. And we're going to look at what it means to be remembered on the palms and on the hands of the Lord. The Bible says, "But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your son shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are inscribed and remembered on the palms of your hands, not just for a moment or a fleeting moment, but for all of eternity. And God, we thank you for that. Bless your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to share something that I have not shared with Teresa. Matter of fact, I think Julie and Kevin are the only ones that know. The Lord will never forget us, okay? But sometimes we forget things. And recently, Teresa had her gallbladder taken out. They didn't forget to take the gallbladder out. But anyway, she had her gallbladder taken out. And I was with her in the recovery room, and the nurse came in and said, "Are you the husband?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Would you please go get y'all's vehicle and pull around to the front of the hospital? It's there where at Mother Francis where the little hamster cage thing is. And would you pull around, and I'll roll Teresa down with the wheelchair, and you can pick her up." And Teresa's still a little bit groggy from the anesthesia. And so I exit, and I head out the same way I head out every time I leave the hospital. And I walk across the road from Peaches Owens Hospital to the parking garage, and I walk up the steps, and I find the car, and I get in the car, and I begin to thank the Lord for such a successful surgery and just so glad that the Lord was there. And a little bit later, I look up, and I'm turning off of Beckham onto, off of Front onto Beckham. And I look over to say something to Teresa, but she's not there. I've been waiting for a time that you're fully recovered to share this. And so I panic, and I go across all the lanes of the traffic really, really fast. I do a U-turn. I get back down to Stanley's Barbecue, and the light turns red. And I'm thinking, Teresa's going to kill me. And so I turn left to take a shortcut. I'm going to go right there between the hospital and Peaches Owens, where that little alleyway is there. And I forgot about a 5-story building being built in that alleyway. So I turn up, and I run into a construction gate. So I turn around, got to wait on more traffic, go all the way around the block, pull up, and I see Teresa. She is looking for me. And I see her at the front door sitting in a wheelchair with a security guard and a nurse with her. And her arms go... She spoke volumes in her body language. And so in a real quick hurry, I unlocked the passenger door, and I can't think straight. I should have got out and walked around and opened the door, and I fling it open for her. And she gets in, and she says, "Oh, my goodness, where have you been?" My answer was this, and she never questioned it. "Teresa, it just took a while." Now you know the rest of the story. And by the way, you and Brian did awesome on y'all's duet part of that song. Okay, you're remembered today. That's my point. We are human and we can forget, but God can never forget. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 14, and we'll get started. The first thing I want you to see about the Lord is that God has a listening ear. It's on your outline, by the way. God has a listening ear. Verse 14 says, "But Zion," now Zion means the top of the hill, the hill in Jerusalem. We've stood on that hill, and it's beautiful. You can see down all over Jerusalem right there, down into the city. It's a really, really steep hill right on top of Zion. It's a beautiful place in Israel. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." Now, before we move any further, first of all, the Lord, this is a prophecy of the Messiah. In fact, this whole area right here is a prophecy of the Messiah. In fact, if you go to Isaiah chapter 40 to chapter 48, he says, let's talk together, let's reason together. He's saying, hear and talk with the Lord. God is inviting his people to come and listen to him and to speak to him. And then when you get to chapter 49, which is where we are today, all the way through chapter 57, it's all about the Redeemer. In fact, chapter 53 of Isaiah is all about the cross and what Jesus did for us. Then when you get to chapter 58 through the last chapter, which is chapter 66, it's the Lord's kingdom, his work, the work that he has done because of the cross. Now, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is 66 chapters long. And it is said that the book of Isaiah is like our Bible. It's like an Old Testament and a New Testament. And it's phenomenal. Because you can take and you get to chapter 40 and things change. The first 39 chapters relate perfectly in parallel with the first 39 books or the 39 books of the Old Testament, the 27 books of the New Testament. Once you get to Comfort My People, Isaiah chapter 40, and you continue all the way through the glorious kingdom in chapter 66, you have a parallel of your New Testament. So where we are in this book of Isaiah chapter 49 is we're in the area that speaks of the Redeemer, and the Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about being remembered today, we're remembering those that have fallen before us. We're remembering that have fought for our freedoms for this country, Memorial Day. We're also remembering these that are in the cemetery across the road. By the way, they're not in the cemetery. Their bodies are in the cemetery, but they're with the Lord. They're with the Lord. And one day, even that body will be transformed, and it won't be in the cemetery either. In fact, my dad was getting a lot of calls from when he got diagnosed with terminal cancer years ago, and he lived for a very long time with it, and he got a lot of burial policy people that were calling him. And Daddy said, they just keep calling no matter what I tell them. And he finally said, "Look, do you have a coffin that you'll rent me?" And the man said, "I'm sorry, sir, I don't understand." He said, "Well, I'm a born-again Christian, and I just need it for a few days. I don't need to purchase one. I just want to rent one." He said that fella never called him back again. The perspective of a believer is awesome. And so the Lord says that Zion is saying, the Lord listens, the Lord knows their complaint. Now you say, why is Zion saying the Lord has forsaken me? Why is Israel, why is Zion saying this? It's because they have been in captivity in Babylon. And the Lord is wanting them to anticipate the fact that his promise is coming, that they will be liberated, that one day they will be free. And so as the exiles begin to leave and head back to Jerusalem, he's wanting to reignite their faith and show them that I saw your circumstances from my point of view, but you were seeing me through your circumstances. And see, when we look at our circumstances and look at God through the circumstances, we'll mess up in what we see. But when we look at our circumstances through the Word of God, suddenly it changes things. And so God is inviting them to see that, number one, I haven't forgotten you. And number two, don't look at me through your captivity. Look at me through my sovereignty. Because their captivity was limited in duration, 70 years. And then they would be freed. But he wanted them to come back to the city of Zion as worshipers filled with faith in the Lord. And so he gets to verse 15, and he says, and he illustrates it. He's illustrating how his love works. He says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" It's a valid question. He's saying, surely they may forget. He's saying there may be a mom out there that may forget, just like there's a husband that forgot. He says, "Yet I will not forget you. I won't forget you." And so that is a part of how God is listening to our heart. He knows our complaint. He knows our grumbling. And I want you to think about something. Have you ever felt forgotten? Have you ever been in a situation in your life and you wonder, Lord, are you still there? Could be a health crisis or a financial crisis. Could be a number of different things. Could be a deep depression. And you say to yourself, God, do you remember me? Lord, have you forsook me? And the Lord's like, oh, no. You see, the Lord, he could show up and he could have the dew on the fleece, so to speak, every single day. But what does God do? He takes great delight in those who believe him by faith, those who just trust him. Now, when we look at our lives in reverse, it's like a level plain or a level pasture. All the mountains and difficulties of our lives have been leveled. We can look in the rearview mirror and we can say, God, you've been there all the way to today. We can see it. But then when we turn around and look forward in life, we see nothing but obstacles. We tend to see the mountains. And the Lord's like, just look behind you and you'll see that there's a plain behind you. I've got you where you are today and I'll get you where you're going to be tomorrow. You might have noticed on your program that Jack Connolly was one of those that was buried across in the cemetery this past year. And Jack Connolly was 90 years old, faithful servant of the Lord. In fact, he pastored here at Mount Sylvan for 6 years, from 1990 to 1996. He was one of the pastors here. In fact, when he took the pastorate here in 1990, Jack Connolly had just come off the mission field in Africa. 27 years in the mission field in Africa. I talked to Sally, his wife. She's still living this past week. And I asked her, I said, Sally, of all the missions y'all did in Africa, what would you say were the most forgotten people? The people over there that felt like nobody thought of them, that felt helpless, that felt lonely. And without question, she says, oh, that would be the Garimi tribe. They were the ones. They had ministered in Zimbabwe and Kenya. They had lived on the Indian Ocean next to the Indian Ocean for about 3 years, and their ministry in Africa moved from place to place. But she said it was that tribe, that Garimi tribe, that was the tribe that seemed to have needed us most. And I asked her, I said, how did y'all reach them? And she said that they had some natives from Africa that attended a seminary in Africa, young men that spoke the language. And these young men went and they preached the gospel and they shared Christ and they won people to the Lord. And then Jack found what his calling was. His calling was to train up the pastors that were to continually minister daily to this tribe. And did you know that he started 3 Bible schools over there for pastors? And did you know those schools are still continuing to this day, ran by the Nationals? That's why we can't forget those that have gone before us, because what Jack did is he just simply passed the baton to somebody else. But you and I are going to meet people in heaven that will truly say that my name was inscribed on the palms of the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. Isn't that comforting? You know, there's a second thing. There's a liberating promise that we see. And we see that and we pick up at it in verse 16. That's very liberating. Here's the promise that God gives these exiles in captivity. He says, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Now, inscribing or graven in the King James Version is different than a tattoo. A tattoo can be taken off. It can be removed in some form or fashion. It's just artwork on the hand. But Jesus is saying, I've inscribed you. And how did he inscribe us on the palms of his hands when his hands were pierced for our transgressions? You see, the Lord knew those who would believe in him before the foundation of the world. And Jesus, not only did he have us inscribed on his hands, by the way, Revelation says he still has it. I saw a lamb as though he had been slain. Those scars will forever be on Jesus in heaven to remind us that we have been bought at a price, the price of his blood. And when I think about Jack Connolly, I'm reminded that Jack Connolly was inscribed on the palms of the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. Maybe you're in here today and you have a loved one that's not on this list that died maybe the year before, the year before that. I want you to be encouraged that as they believed in Jesus Christ, they too were inscribed on the palms of his hands and they've never been forgotten. And if you believe in Jesus, you're inscribed on the palm of his hands and he has not forgotten you. You may feel that he's forgotten you, but it is a feeling that you feel. But the truth is, he even bottles up every tear. He collects every thought because he died for you, because he loves you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is a liberating promise. Many of you remember Dorothy Clark. And Dorothy Clark was a member here at Mount Sylvan for years and years. And even now when I go in the TEL class and walk in there, I have a habit of wanting to look at that first chair to the right, because I'm so used to seeing Dorothy Clark sitting there across from Elaine Hall. And Elaine's usually behind the desk. And she would go on all the trips with the TEL ladies. And she loved the Lord. And some of her family is in here with us today. And I was talking to Stan the other day just a little bit about Dorothy. And we all loved Dorothy. But how did Dorothy live? Dorothy lived in the light of this liberating promise that one day when she passed, she was going to go to heaven. Dorothy had a mom named Berta. And Berta, before she died, which was in 2003, I believe, is that right? Before she died, Dorothy felt compelled to make sure that her mama could die in peace, knowing that one day I'll be in heaven. Mom, you don't have to worry about me because I believe in Jesus. And it meant a lot to Dorothy to share that. By the way, I want to encourage you, share that with your parents and share that with people in your family, so that they can know where you're going if you believed in you believe in Jesus. And so Dorothy shared that, and it's interesting because you know what day Berta passed away? Funeral was on Easter Sunday. Don't you know that meant a lot to Dorothy to have a funeral for her mom on Easter Sunday, resurrection morning? And I want to tell you, Dorothy is with the Lord today, because she has seen that he keeps his promise. It's a liberating promise to know the Lord. And Zion, the Lord is saying, don't forget that it is me that is remembering you. And we miss Dorothy, and there's a scripture that I thought about. When the Bible says you're inscribed on my hands, in fact, Isaiah talks a lot about being in the shadow of his hand or in his hand, or is my arm too shortened that it cannot save? His hand represents his power, his sovereignty, his love, his compassion. And you know what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29? He says, and I give them eternal life. Not a religion, not any kind of cult, not any good enoughs. He says, I give them eternal life. That's why we have to come to Jesus. He says, he is the door, and he is the way, and he is the truth. And Jesus says, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. You're in the hand of Jesus. It's like a picture of Jesus in the hand of the Father. But we know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. It's like a clinch. I heard David Dykes one time preach a message of like driving a nail, and you clench it, and then you bend it over on the other side of the board, and you bang it down really good. It's clenched. You can't hardly pull that kind of nail out. It's clenched. We've been clenched in the mercy and blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that liberating? But it's also a lasting presence. A lasting presence. Every day is a time to live for the Lord, and it reminds me, there's another one on your list there. Her name is Nita Curry. And you know what I remember? I don't remember a lot about Nita Curry. Nita was not a member here. I believe she was a member of the Methodist Church. But I want to tell you what I remember about Nita. Ran into her all the time at funerals. Nita loved people and loved to serve people. And she would attend both of these services back in the day. The cemetery service used to be here and across the road. They would alternate from the Methodist Church to Mount Sylvan, Mount Sylvan to the Methodist Church. She made sure she came to all those services. But Nita Curry had a heart to serve people. Spoke with Georgia, her daughter, and Georgia's here today. Glad to see Georgia. And Georgia said, you know what mom was? She was a Proverbs 31 woman. She left a legacy. She served the Lord by her actions and her service. You know what she would do? She would have something baked all the time in her house, and she says her doors were always open. Anybody wanted to come over and see her anytime, didn't even have to call first, and coffee would be made. She was that kind of a person. And she served people by quilting. In fact, she was a member of the Busy Bee Quilting Club. That just kind of sounds fun. And she'd make quilts for everybody, for the kids, for everybody. And you say, how does serving the Lord through quilting and through opening your home, how is that serving the Lord? Let me tell you what Jesus says about service. Jesus loves people, and he loves it when we love people. In Matthew chapter 25, he says, when did you feed me when I was hungry, or clothe me when I was naked, or visit me when I was in prison? He said, for assuredly as if you've done it for the least of these, you did it unto me. Bible also says that even if you give a cup of cold water to somebody in his name, you will by no means lose your reward. Scripture says in Matthew 25:40, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren. Then he follows up and he says, you know what you did? You did it to me. Have you ever helped somebody? Really went beyond the call of duty? Not the second mile, you went the 10th mile. And then Satan comes to tempting you to wonder how much thanks you got, or was the thanks big enough? And you start looking at all that, and Satan just keeps working it. Well, I did all this, and I don't even hardly get any gratitude. Be careful with that. Because when you serve somebody, serve them from a heart that says, I ask for nothing in return. I serve you because I'm serving Jesus. See the picture there? That's the life of Nita Curry. But then there was one more, and I'll get to her in just a second. It was June Wilbanks Webster. By the way, June Wilbanks is distant kin to Linda Hicks. Linda Hicks has been a member here for years and years. I want to share something real quick. Look at verses 16 and 17. Here they are in captivity. And he says, see, I have inscribed ye on the palms of my hands. Now, this is easy to look over right here. He says, your walls are continually before me. Now, this is interesting. He could have said, the ruins of your walls are continually before me. But he didn't. He said, your walls are continually before me. Now, we know that the walls had been torn down, the gates had been burned, and they were in disrepair. There were all kinds of problems with the walls, and Nehemiah is going to come back, and he's going to rebuild those walls, and he'll do it in 52 days. And the Lord is saying, let me tell you how much I love you. Not only do I have you inscribed on the palms of my hands, he could see the cross before the cross even came to be, because he came literally in fulfillment of these messianic prophecies. And it was planned before the foundation of the world. And he looks at his children, Israel, and he says, you're over here in Babylon in captivity. You're experiencing captivity, and you're trying to look at me through your circumstance, but I've already got a duration. I've got a 70-year cap on your captivity. It was for training you. It was for disciplining you because they had rebelled God so much. He's saying, but you know what? I never took my eyes off of your walls. And we know from even last week's study or the week before that the walls are like a picture of the decisions of our heart. And the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the temple up on the hill there in Jerusalem was a picture of what Jesus does for us. And the Bible says he had to die outside the city walls, outside the gates. You see, he died for us in the walls, outside the gate, but it's up to us to believe in him. Salvation is not automatic. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so here he is saying, I love you, and your walls are always before me. Let me just make a point right here about you and I. Your walls are a protection of your, or a picture of your protection, your security, the story of your life. Those walls represented their security. They represented their status. When the walls were in disarray, then the nations around them knew that they were weak. It told a story of Israel when you looked at the walls. And the Lord is saying, I'm not looking at your ruins, that's your past. I'm looking at your walls, that's your present and what you're going to be, because I have a plan for you. And that's what he says for us in Philippians 1. He says the same things, that I have a plan for your life, and it will come to pass basically because I've committed it unto you until that day. And you see, God is looking at you, not staring at your failures. God is staring, if you're in Christ, he is staring at the success that he has planned for you in Christ. Little did they know they were going to be able to come out of captivity in several different groups, and the foundation of the temple would be laid. Eventually the walls would be restored, and then eventually under Zechariah and Haggai, the temple would be rebuilt. And the Lord would say, I am your God and faithful to my word. It's a liberating promise, but it's a lasting presence. June Wilbanks Webster. By the way, she was born in 1930. She passed away in June of 2018, which was after our last Memorial Day service. And did you know that she was one of the original Apache Belles? What a legacy. This is what is said of June. June's unforgettable smile, strong faith in Jesus Christ, and joyful spirit will be remembered with deep fondness. June touched many lives in countless positive ways. When I hear those words right there, I think of many of you instantly, because that's exactly how you are. You touch people for Jesus, and you're going to leave a legacy, not by anything else, but by your love for others and your love for Jesus Christ. That's going to be your legacy. That's the legacy you want to leave. Her memory is with us today, but here's the neat thing. I see you inscribed on the palms of my hands. I want you to think about this. She could see the same thing. She could say the same thing. In fact, I was thinking about that song, Kevin, when we were singing, I Got Saved. From heaven's point of view, Dorothy Clark can say, that's the song I'm singing, I Got Saved. Every one of these ladies and Jack Conley were born-again believers that live for Jesus that are on our program today. And they all can sing that song, I Got Saved. But I want to tell you, if you're not saved, you don't have a song to sing. You see, I've always thought it interesting that Christians sing a song. You won't find other religions really singing with joy like Christians do. We have so many songs. The old rugged cross. I mean, there's no end to it because we worship the Lord. You can be driving down the highway and suddenly a song could come to your heart. I hope you're not in my back seat. I'm not a good singer, but I love to sing to the Lord. And that's what he does in our heart. I want you to think about something. There was a young boy years ago. And this young boy was a newspaper boy, and this was way, way back there in a great big city in America. And this young boy and W.A. Criswell told this story that he had come across. And this young boy would deliver his paper, and he came up on this house that looked like a palace. And he looked at the house, and the yard was perfectly manicured. The fountains were bubbling. And it was a beautiful place, and it had this huge pillars on the front porch, and the door looked like it was a mile tall. And before you know it, this little young boy had made his way up into the yard of what seemed to be a king's palace. And the little boy is just so amazed, and he starts making his way, and before you know it, he's knocking on the door of this house. And this man opens the door, and he is a very wealthy businessman here in America. And the man says, can I help you? And the boy is startled. He's scared to death because he's in rags. He's not clean. And he's so young and he's intimidated. And he says, mister, do you own this place? And he said, I sure do. He said, oh, mister, I wish I was your boy. Because if I was your boy, I could play in this yard. If I was your boy, I'd go over there and drink out of that fountain. If I was your boy, I'd feel at home. I'd feel safe here. And the man, out of curiosity, called his wife. She was upstairs. And he said, "Wife, come on down here." And the wife came down. And he says, "This young lad wants to know if he can be our boy." And he's just curious what his wife would say. And his wife said, "Oh, I would love for him to be our little boy." And the man says, "Well, where do you live?" He says, "I don't have a mama and I don't have a father, and I live on the streets." And the man said, "No longer do you live on the streets. As of today, I'm calling you my son. You're my son, and I'm your father." You see, that is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He has the house with many mansions. He is the one that owns all of the universe. He owns all of heaven, and He has invited us to come up the way. He said, "I am the way." He said, "I am the door, and those who enter by me will find good pasture." And He says, "Come through the door. Come through the door, and you can be mine, and you'll be mine for eternity, and I'll inscribe you on the palms of my hands." And He inscribed us at the cross as He bore our sins in His body, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the promise that we have in Your Son Jesus. And Father, it is that promise, it is that saving work of Your Holy Spirit that gave us the legacy and the testimonies of these who have died before us. And Lord, we pray that we would leave a legacy. Lord, that we would spend eternity in heaven. And you may be in here this morning and maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus. Would you stand at His door? The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, "I stand at the door and knock." He's knocking on your heart's door. And if you'll come in, He'll sup with you, He'll commune with you, and He'll love you, and He'll make you His child. Would you do that today? Would you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Maybe you're in here this morning and God's dealing with you on something totally different. Just say yes to God. Just be obedient and watch what He'll do. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to serve You and to exalt You. In Jesus' name, amen.